You know, lately I've been wishing this for a lot of people. I wish everyone had a strong family to teach and guide them to love and to love them personally. So I thought that today, as we begin 2016, we could talk about some of the most important practices for forging strong families. And with God's help, we're going to raise the quality of your family by helping you become a better family member. What do you think about that? Amen? These principles will help you be a more likable, lovable, and positive contributor, not only to your family, but to your inner circle of friends as well. Even you, Terry. I love you, Terry. I don't see where you are, but I love you. So, I can't promise to save your family from sorrow, but if you take to heart these ideas, I can promise that you will be a person who saves your family from a lot of pain, because you will be a better family member. Does that make sense? So let's take responsibility for our own selves, right? Let's jump into this. Author David Carlson writes, "Recently, a research project was conducted in which about 240 counseling agencies across the country were asked to identify the primary problem that their counselors encountered. It was reported that almost 80% of the problems brought to the agencies concerning marriage and family life, had to do with communication. So if communication is the number one problem for families, I want to tackle it today. Communication can be a very complex issue, can't it? 93% of our communication comes not from our words. Where do you think that comes from? Facial expressions, posture, vocal inflections, and other non-verbal cues. I've discovered it's not so much that communication is difficult in the family today, but that it is lacking, right? We don't do enough of this communication. Our author, Tim Hansel, suggests that if you're married, you should spend at least 15 minutes a day communicating with your spouse. What do you think about that? 15 minutes a day. If this seems like a challenge, Dr. Willard Harley suggests if you're married, you should spend at least 15 hours a week communicating with your spouse. What do you think about that? This is how much time you spent while courting them, is what Willard says. So if you're going to stay in love, you have to do the things that made you fall in love in the first place. And most of the guys are going, "Oh, brother." Anyway, choose either time frame. Probably both are better than most of us do right now. And you end up with the same principle: strong family members spend time with each other. Strong family members spend time with each other. Many times we tend to concentrate on the things like on our to-do list, right? I know no one here ever does that. We assume everyone around us is doing okay, don't we? Unless they take the initiative and let us know otherwise, and usually at that point it's kind of a bad situation, isn't it? So what this means, if you're going to be a strong member of a strong family, you're going to have to find time to pay attention to the people you love. Now, our scripture for today shows us a great picture of this. So open up those Bibles again. I don't know what's wrong with my throat. John chapter 9. Now, remember, this is a story of a man who was born blind. And blind folks back then were unemployable. So this man had spent his entire life begging. Just listen to what Jesus does when he sees the man. right? So here we are. As he is walking along, he saw a man blind from birth. Most people who read the story agree that it's a story demonstrating Jesus' power and compassion. But if you look a little deeper, it's a story of how three different groups of people look at a blind man in three different ways. If we look at Jesus first, it says, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. I've read it three times now. Do you see maybe the point that I'm getting to? What's the first thing that Jesus did when he encountered the blind man? He saw him. Jesus actually looked at him. When the disciples looked at the man, they didn't really see a man, did they? They saw a theology lesson. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, in today's society, we tend to think, the disciples, quit being so ignorant, right? Because that's just not how we think in today's society. However, in that day and age, it was believed that if someone was born with a physical handicap, their parents had sinned, and that sin had passed down to them. Does that make sense? I mean, do you understand that, even if you don't agree with it? Do you understand that? So, Jesus looked at the person, and the disciples looked at the potential object lesson. The third group of people was the man's neighbors. Now, this was really interesting to me. They never really saw this man at all. When it boiled right down to it, they even wondered if they recognized the man. Have you ever thought about that? The text doesn't tell us how old he was, only that he was a man. So the assumption is that he's a fully grown man. People didn't move too often in that day, so these neighbors had probably lived next to this man for years. Yet they had looked at him so infrequently that after he was healed, they weren't sure if he was their neighbor or not. Now, I know that none of us are caught in that, are we? They even had a little debate about it, with some saying he was and some saying he wasn't. Even when he says, "I am the man," these people aren't sure if he is or not. Of all the people who encountered the blind man, only Jesus saw him. Only Jesus paid attention to him. And it's an interesting phrase, isn't it? People's attention is so valuable that we attach a cost to it. Have you ever realized that? Are you paying attention now? Right? Do you pay attention to who your neighbors are? Do you pay attention who you walk by in the store? So people's attention is so valuable that we attach a cost to it. We don't do attention. We don't make attention. We pay attention. And this is the first and very simplistic thing you need to do if you're going to be a strong family member. You need to pay attention. Strong family members pay the price to pay attention to each other. It's both easy and hard to do. I read once when Franklin D. Roosevelt was president, he got tired of smiling that big smile of his and saying the usual things at all these White House cocktails and such. So one evening he decided to find out whether anybody was really paying attention to him. Some of you may have heard this story. It's a true story. At the next reception, each person came up to him with an extended hand. He flashed his big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." People would automatically respond with comments, "How nice! Keep doing the great things that you're doing." Nobody listened to what he was saying except one foreign diplomat. When the president said to him, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the diplomat responded softly, "I'm sure she had it coming to her." How often do we sit around the breakfast table reading the newspaper and tuning out everyone around us? Or spend evenings watching, for instance, Blue Bloods or whatever it is you watch, or football while family members are growing up all around us? Here's an idea. Tomorrow morning, spend a few minutes looking out the window, appreciating what God has made for you. And then turn around and spend a few minutes looking at your house, at who God has made for you. Really experience the pure joy of being in relationship with people, friends and family. Those moments may turn out to be more enjoyable than any scene on TV. And I'm sure we'll have a deeper plot. In verse 4 of this passage, Jesus says, "As long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me." What in the world does that mean? I think Jesus is saying, you now have an extraordinary opportunity. But the opportunity is limited. Like the daytime, it's not going to last forever. It is possible to miss the wonders taking place around you. And most of those wonders have to do with the people you love. I know there is work to be done, but what's the point of being a family if we don't pay attention to each other? One of my favorite memories is when Jamie and I took the boys and mom and dad to see the Harlem Globetrotters. As I was growing up, we would watch the Harlem Globetrotters on TV, and I would hear over and over again Dad talk about my grandpa playing against the Harlem Globetrotters in Stanbury, Missouri. And of course, my first thought was, what in the world were the Harlem Globetrotters doing in Stanbury, Missouri? But it's true, and one of them just died not too long ago, and the story of them being in Stanbury came up. Finally, a few years ago, we were able to fulfill a dream of Dad's and take Mom and Dad to experience the Harlem Globetrotters when they were here in Kansas City. Strong family members. Strong family members. What is the first one? Strong family members. Pay the price to pay attention to each other. Second, strong family members ask great questions. Read through other stories about Jesus sometime and you'll see that he was not only a good speaker, he was a great question asker. And English teachers, I know that's correct. He was a great question asker. Just like better-er or more-er or whatever you said earlier. Good-er, there it is, yeah. In John, see what they remember? In John 1, instead of focusing on himself, the Bible says he turned to the men following him and asked, "What do you want?" John chapter 1, 37. Jesus says, "What do you want?" This might seem like an obvious question, but how often do we ask those that we love, "What is it that you want?" Not too long after that, Jesus was walking through the region of Samaria, and he came to a well, and there was a woman getting water there. And it was very awkward for men and women to have conversation in that day. And so Jesus broke the ice and said, "Will you give me water to drink?" John 4, verse 7. From that simple question, a great conversation began. One chapter later, it says that Jesus was walking by a pool of water in Jerusalem when he came to a crippled man. So he asked him a question. Now, if you came across a crippled man sitting by a pool of water, what would you ask him? Jesus starts with a simple, easy-to-answer question. John 5, verse 6. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? One chapter further, Jesus is teaching a large crowd on a hillside when he realizes that they're all getting hungry, and instead of just telling the disciples what to do, he asks them a question, In John chapter 6, verse 5, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Think through some of the best conversations you've ever had where you felt really connected to, and know by the person you were talking with. I'm guessing the reason that the conversation went well and went deep is because of good questions that were asked. So let's talk about really communicating for a minute. I'd love you to write this down if you have your bulletin handy and you have a pen or a pencil handy. You know, you can ask questions about facts, right? It was 40 degrees and sunny yesterday. That probably doesn't start many conversations, does it? Really doesn't connect us. The second level is events. The Chiefs and the Bears played a great game last week, from a Chiefs perspective. A little more stimulating, but nothing deep is really exchanged. And the third level is about people. Susie just had a facelift. Did you know that? That could stir up some conversation, wouldn't it? John hates politics. Bill got a new job. These are much more engaging things, aren't they? Another level is ideas. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and Savior of the world. Say that to someone and suddenly you've started a very stimulating conversation, right? The conversation could go deep. The conversation can get heated. But ideas are exchanged and we share much more in that conversation about ourselves, don't we? And the deepest, which probably guys are the worst at, are feelings. I'm hurt. I'm tired. I'm happy, bored, jealous, excited. This is where we live. Yes, guys, even us. And it takes a great woman to see that. This is where it gets deep. So a good question to ask a loved one when they describe a fact or an event or a person or idea is, well, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Can you see how that communication is complex? But it's really an easy question to ask, isn't it? How do you feel about that? The most engaging people you know are people who are good at asking questions. When's the last time that you ask a waitress or a waiter, how's your day going? How do you feel? You would be surprised what they will do for you because they know that you care. But again, do you ask the question because of what they'll do for you? You ask the question because you care. All right. So, strong family members pay the price to pay attention. Strong family members ask great questions. Facts, events, people, ideas, and feelings. Strong family members know that loving means listening. I'm sure you've heard the saying, God gave us two ears and one mouth because we should listen twice as much as we speak. I just got in trouble there if you didn't notice that. One of the greatest verses on the family in the entire Bible is James 1, verse 19, which says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." You all know that, don't you? Yeah. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Notice the one quick and two slows. Be quick to listen. How often do we speak so quickly that we don't even listen to the end of your friend's comment? we immediately get that defense going, right? And we're already thinking about how we're going to respond, and we really don't even listen to what their concern or statement is. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Sometimes we're so focused on what we think that we forget to think about the other person and their situation. Listening to another person talk about their feelings is a great gift of love. A great gift of love. All right, strong family members communicate love through healthy touch. Years ago, in a classic work called People Making, psychologist Virginia Satir said that it takes 8 meaningful, healthy touches a day to maintain mental health and 12 healthy touches a day to grow. Sometimes the best way to communicate love is to put your hand on someone's shoulder or touch their hand or elbow or, depending on their comfort level, rub their back. Maybe your kids. If you turn to Mark 1 with me, Matthew, Mark, it's the second book in the New Testament, Mark chapter 1. It's a story about when Jesus meets a man with leprosy, Mark chapter 1. Verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Jesus touched the man and then he healed them. A man came with leprosy, came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing, be made clean." I want you to think about this a minute. From the day that he contracted leprosy, he had not had, most likely, anyone ever touch him. He'd known no physical human contact. Jesus knew the man needed touch more than anything else. So at the risk of contracting leprosy himself, Jesus touched the man while he was still sick. And then he healed him. You see, Jesus understood the power of touch. So just real quick today, I'm going to suggest some things to you as we begin working on our, on improving the quality of our families. And I want you to write these down. Write these down. It's kind of a family assignment, you might say. Family assignment. It doesn't matter if you're family. If you're not married and all the kids are gone, you have friends that are close to you. You have people that you quilt with or eat lunch with. All these, it can be from literal core family to friends to business associates, depending on their comfort level. So here we go. Family assignment. Number one, spend some time paying attention to every member of your family each day. It's not always going to be possible. It's kind of like, in this way, it's kind of like coming to church, right? We know that coming to worship every Sunday, most likely for most people, is not going to be likely 52 times a year, right? But if you're here most of the time and you have to be gone, it's not that big a deal, is it? Right? In the grand scheme of things, yeah, you'll miss it and all that, right? Well, it's the same way in most of these principles. If you do it all the time and then one day it doesn't happen, it's not going to be a big life-changing event. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? It is a way of life, and so therefore, if something happens and you're traveling or you can't pay attention to that particular family member in a day, that's fine. I'm sure, though, when you go to bed, you're going to be thinking, "Oh, you know what? I never spent any time with so-and-so today." Right? Because it's a habit. So, spend some time paying attention to every member of the family each day. How about starting with 60 seconds per day? 60 seconds per day. Can you do that? 60 seconds per day? If it's more than you're doing now, that's a great improvement, isn't it? If that's less than you already do, try to up the ante a little bit, right? Whatever you do, try to take a step forward. Number two, Ask at least one good question every day. Become an expert at this. Ask at least one good question a day. And you can guess what's next. After you ask a good question, what do you have to do? Listen. Listen a lot and speak a little. Listen a lot, speak a little. And after years of marriage, I've learned, guys, that sometimes you don't have to respond. Sometimes a hug is the best response, right? 4, develop a habit of healthy touching. You notice I put healthy there. I didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea. This is both a... It takes communication to understand healthy touch, right? Like, you know, I hug a lot of you as you leave, right? But I can tell when you're walking up to me what you're comfortable with. Right? And you have to be able to understand your family member and what they're comfortable with. Every time I have a chance, I touch my boys. Right? I pat them on the back. I squeeze their shoulder, right? Some touches they don't like so well, you know, if they're doing something, you know. Like Mom used to do, tight little hairs on the back of their neck, you know. No. But every time I try to touch them in some way, just rough up their hair, or depends on if I'm feeling ornery or not, right? Anything to show my love for them. Touch first thing in the morning. Touch before you leave the house. Touch when you get home. You know, that's 3 touches, right? To get to 8, you're going to have to dig a little deeper on that, aren't you? To get to 12, you're going to have to work just a little bit. Like, you know, maybe this is an important thing for you and your family. It doesn't have to be a big deal, just touch. And finally, every Sunday, ask, what did you learn today? On your way home, over lunch, what did you learn today? Right? What did you learn in Sunday school? What did you learn in service? How can you put shoes on that and live that out? All right, so spend more time paying attention. I want to make sure you get these down, all right? Spend some time paying attention. Just open your eyes and pay attention. 2, ask at least one good question every day. 3, listen a lot and speak a little. 4, develop a habit of healthy touching. And 5, every Sunday ask, what did you learn today? Did you receive this today? Let's put it in practice. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we love you so much. We thank you for we just thank you for each other. And we're sorry, Lord, that sometimes we just assume that we're all okay. We're sorry that we think we don't have time to listen. We're sorry that the fact that you created each one of us, and so many times we think that the other person isn't important. So we ask, Lord, on this Epiphany Sunday, on this Sunday where it's the first Sunday of 2016, I just ask that you challenge us, Lord, to do these things so that we can become strong family members, so that we can make a difference in our family, love one another more and deeper. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.